Hi everyone, welcome to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
My name's Jen, and on today's show, we're gonna talk about, well, what if you get in trouble for talking about the man behind the mission? So stay tuned.
And thank you to all those people who have checked out our partners page, neweveryday.tv. Click on partners and see all the amazing organizations supporting us each week to make this possible. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the book of Acts, working from chapter 1. Now we are on chapter 4, and Peter and John just healed a man in the name of Jesus, jumped up and walked, and people are really stirred up about it. And Peter then takes that opportunity after this man who was lame from birth. Yeah. He takes the opportunity to say, it was not us who did this. It was actually the name of Jesus, the power of God. And you acted in ignorance when you killed Jesus. But now you have this opportunity to repent that times of refreshing may come. Mm-hmm. So now we're in chapter 4. And can I go ahead and read that, Jen?
Yes, hit it.
Where am I going to?
You're going to 22.
Right then. This is in the New King James Version. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000.
Wow.
And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge.
Mm-hmm.
For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed.
There's so much in this passage.
There's so much.
And we started off this session by saying, like, what do you do when you get in trouble for talking about the man behind the mission? And because they were saying some very key claims about who Jesus was. So you actually had to think about both of these. Who are they talking to? They're talking to the Sadducees, the temple guards, and the priests. That's very, very, very important. Because the Sadducees do not, or did not, did not believe in the resurrection of the dead.
Right.
They didn't believe that it's like once you died,
that's it.
That's it. And so that's a key part here, because it says they were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So Peter was very clear. It says they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So the Sadducees are like,
hold on, go no further.
Because I don't know if you've ever been in a position where your faith or your belief in something was rocked. Like, you're like, if I accept this as, if that is true, then everything I believe in is wrong. Because that is the place the Sadducees are in right now.
So they were sad, you see.
They are. And on that note,
okay,
we're going to take a commercial.
Killed it.
Jeff, what are you doing with your happy goggles?
I'm watching Cat 5.
What do you mean?
Hello? Just looking around. Hey.
Oh, yeah. Category 5 is in 360 video now. Well, not really, but season 10 is starting, and we've got a very special 2-hour special that is shot in 360 video. So get your happy goggles ready, folks. If you've got Google Cardboard or whatever you've got, make sure you get it ready. Or you can swipe on your phone, on your tablet. It's pretty cool. You're going to get a 360 view of the studio and be able to say hi to some of your favorite co-hosts of Times Gone By. Jeff's going to be here.
I will be here.
Sasha's going to be here.
Yay!
You're going to be here. So make sure you join us. That is happening on September 27th as we kick off season 10 of Category 5 Technology TV. If you don't have Google Cardboard or any kind of virtual reality viewing device, it's okay. As I say, you can use your phone, your tablet, or even use your mouse on YouTube in order to control the camera. You're going to be able to actually control where you look as the show goes forth. You don't want to miss it. It's a 2-hour special for season 10 as we kick it off on September 27th. In the meantime, we're going to be opening up Skype video for our viewers to call in and say hi. You're going to be able to talk to your favorite co-hosts. So make sure you get that pre-tested and plan to call in. Think about the things that you'd like to reminisce about as you've been watching Category 5 TV over the years. So it's happening again, September 27th. You want to be here as we kick off Season 10 in 360 video. Don't miss it. See you there.
Okay, we are back. And Jen, you were just talking about the Sadducees, how they were rocked by Peter saying, if this is Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, who has done this miracle.
Yeah, and they were like, whoa, you cannot talk about this. And at the end of the passage, they actually let them go, but say, you can't talk about this anymore. And one of the reasons why they were saying you can't talk about this anymore was one, that would radically change what they believed. And if that was true, then that would have a huge impact on, I want to say, their social status now as part of the ruling council of the Jews. So it had because you know, if this is true, then this is radically going to change what we believe and our level of living, or how we live. So it's not just what we believe, but how we live is radically going to change too, and we actually like it.
Because if they have authority because what they believe to be is true according to them, and they have followers who believe the same, that's what that gives them authority over those people and over those teachings.
Yeah.
But if that suddenly changed, they no longer have that authority.
Yes.
But what's interesting is the disciples say, we're testifying to what we have seen and heard.
Yeah.
This is the reality. And the definition of truth is that it points to reality. It lines up with reality, right? You are wearing a seafoam. I'm like, what color is that? A seafoam shirt. I see it. We talked about it. That's real.
That's real. Yes. So.
It's nice. It's a nice shirt. I really like it.
Verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which men, given to men by which we must be saved. saved. Like, they're saying, no, 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 no. Like, Jesus is the only name that can save people. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands healed. He is the only one that can save. Mm-hmm. And so when you make a claim, I have a hair in my mouth, which I'm, uh-huh. There we go. But when you make a claim like that, to say Jesus is the only one, that flies in the face of every single other religion. It's when you say the word only.
It's exclusive. And people don't like things that are exclusive.
No.
They don't. Which is why a lot of people that I speak with today are trying to embrace some of, like, Eastern ideologies, because it seems more inclusive, because you can believe a little bit of everything, and mm-hmm. as long as you're a good person, then that's all cool. That's their understanding of it. Yeah. So it's not exclusive. And I think in our culture, exclusivity has been kind of a no-no, right? We want to include everyone.
Yeah.
But they're mistaking being, like, welcoming and a good type of tolerance,
yeah,
to mean that you have to actually believe what they,
yes,
what they say.
Yeah, and Carrie used an interesting word about this idea of exclusivity. We don't like it, right? Well, because it, in our perception, it puts limits on what we can say and do, and, like, because when you believe in Jesus, then you believe in Jesus. He is the only one. And as you were talking, I immediately went to, it's a similar with a husband and wife. It's exclusive. It is just a husband and wife. And so many people are like, well, no, 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 no. I wanna play the field. And
if my husband's okay with it, then whatever.
Yeah.
I had a friend tell me that her husband was fine if she looked elsewhere outside their marriage for love. Yeah, and that kind of makes you go, oh, something about that is not right.
Yeah.
But where do you draw the line? If you don't have a moral framework from which you're working, then anything goes.
Yeah. If Jesus is not your exclusive savior,
yeah,
then you will turn to everything and everything seems okay. And then you can start to wonder why, as in verse 3, you aren't experiencing those times of refreshment. Like, and this is what I'm learning more and more. We often say, we no rules, no regulations. No, like, that isn't freedom. But true freedom comes actually in being able to, I want to say, play and jump and romp inside the yeah. fence of rules and regulations. There's actually great freedom there. To know what I can do and to take great joy in that. And the joy that comes from being with, you know, one man and one woman together forever is safety and security and no doubt. Or it's just like, yeah. And that's the good thing about Jesus, is when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is actually offering you an exclusive relationship in which you can experience safety, security, provision, defending. Like, it's yeah. all we will ever need, because he says that I am all you need.
And there's a million angles at which you can fall and be unsteady, you know, that might seem okay, but there's only one that makes you stand firm,
yeah.
stand up straight. There is only one angle,
yes.
and that is the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And I really like a quote by C.S. Lewis says, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. Mm. Jesus, there's a quote in the Psalms, I believe, that says, in your light we see light. And I never understood that, but I kind of take it to mean that when Jesus gives you a new perspective of the world, when you believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, he illuminates the rest of reality. And by his light, you see light. By his light, you see the rest of the world. And it helps you interpret these things through that lens of Christianity.
Right.
Where were we, Jen?
Well, the fact is, Peter makes these claims.
Yeah.
Right? So the man is healed. He directs it to Jesus as the healer. And then he gets in trouble. Mm-hmm. He gets in trouble for saying the statement, you know, Jesus was raised from the dead, and by him, no one can be saved. Like, no one else, you cannot be saved by anyone else but Jesus. And then he gets in trouble. Like, they go to jail. He and John go to jail for sticking to their convictions, to their beliefs, by proclaiming the truth. They go to jail. I've never had to go to jail for Jesus.
Me neither.
Like, one of the questions that came up as I was reading this passage was, you know, what is the persecution that I've received from following Christ? Mm-hmm. And I was teased in school, you know, because I wouldn't do certain things. And so then my friends, would tease me. And they would make fun of me and, oh, you can't do this because you're a Christian. And, oh, you're so that. And, you know, and you're kind of like, oh, well. Because that feels uncomfortable.
But compared to going to prison.
I know. I haven't been quite that close.
Yeah, pretty good.
I know.
Excuse me. I was reading a story about a woman. I want to say she's from a Middle Eastern country. I want to say Pakistan. But if you go to persecution.net, you can find out for sure. Her name is Asia Bibi. And I just heard an update on her that she's still on death row. And she's trying to be freed. Her family's advocating for her. The mayor of Paris has said, you can come here, we'll protect you because you are unlawfully put in prison because she proclaimed the name of Jesus among some other women that she was working with in a field. And they rallied against her and said that she was speaking blasphemy. So it's under blasphemy charges that she's in prison because it's a Muslim country. So it's that kind of persecution that I just have no comprehension of, but we can pray for those people.
Yeah. And it says, after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Like, that meant he wasn't a boy. Like, when at 13 they became men in their culture, so that because he was, I want to say, and we've talked about this before, a real person, then he had, like, the proof was in the pudding. There he is. Like, you can't make this up. People knew that he had been crippled from birth. They couldn't make this up. And so people were excited about what God had been doing. And Peter and John say, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.
Yeah. Excuse me. I had a friend start talking to me about religion and like Christianity and other religions and pieces of history that I wasn't really familiar about, but I knew I was passionate about God and the Bible, and so I was trying to articulate, but I wasn't speaking from a place of experience.
Right.
And it was obvious because I couldn't really engage in the conversation. And I like what Peter and John say, that they speak from what they have seen and heard. And I was talking with my dad about this, how I was frustrated that, you know, my friend who was talking to me seemed to have a lot of understanding about history, but some of his understanding of the Bible was not quite right from what I had read, but I didn't know how to engage in the conversation because I was trying to speak about different sermons and things that I had learned for the past and trying to regurgitate it. And my dad said, Gary, just tell them about how Jesus has loved you.
Yeah.
Tell them about the cross and the difference that he's made in your life. Because that is something that I have seen and heard and experienced.
Yes.
That is real to me. Yes, he is the God of history. And yes, he's, you know, you can see Old Testament prophecies and that foretold Jesus coming and doing all these things. But what I have seen and heard is powerful.
Yes.
And I have a story to share. So don't worry about getting all befuddled with what to say. You can share your story and experience, which is why I think it's so important that we foster that relationship in the presence of God each day, reading his word and praying and experiencing him, so we have something real to share to people.
Yes. Something real to share with people about who Jesus is to you. So that's the question we leave with you today, is what have you seen and heard with regards to Jesus in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And you might be sitting there going, I don't know. And if that's the case, just say, okay, Lord, show me. Show me where you have intervened in my life. Give me a story that I can tell. And sometimes I am like that. Lord, I don't know what to say. And then he gives me a story to share. So trust that God will equip you to take the natural and to turn it to the supernatural, to take, help you focus your conversation on what, who Jesus is and what he's done in your life. So why don't we pray and ask God to help us do that this week.
Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. And Jesus, you do warn us that we are no longer of this world, and so people might not always accept us because you bring an exclusive truth claim that you alone are the way that we can be saved, Lord Jesus. And we just believe that and thank you for it. And I thank you for your great love towards us, which we have seen and experienced. I just pray for our viewers who maybe need that fresh touch from you, God, to see and experience you in a new way. And I pray, God, that you would meet with them this week. Mm-hmm. I also want to pray for the persecuted church around the world. We lift up Asia Bibi to you, who is waiting to be killed in prison. But God, we pray that you would intervene. Yes. I pray that you would rescue her from prison, and that you would allow her to be reunited with her family, and that while she's in prison, God, that you would give her the words to say to the guards and the other cellmates, that you'd help her to share who Jesus is and why you make a difference in our life. So we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to be back here next week to finish off this section of the book of Acts. So have an awesome week.
See you later.
Thanks.